I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more, and you are listening to Muslim Lady. This is the cozy corner for all the ladies out there. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing just well. So, as usual, we have our very dear lady to help us with the insights, and she is Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming here.
I am Tarfadlan Zainab Askari, actually from Kashmir, and I've been studying Hausa here for the last 10 years, and I'm also authoring one or two books on Muslim Lady.
So there comes the very common topic of women's financial independence. I have been working on myself so hard, getting into different academic environments, like trying so hard. So now I want to flourish something out of whatever I've learned. So I think I can get into different jobs, like I can do different responsibilities and share a part in my society, like to help my society flourish.
Women's independence has certain advantages and certain disadvantages.
Oh, let's start with disadvantages.
All right, we can start with the disadvantages. Basically, I think the modern education and economic pressures have pushed us as women into the workforce. It's not necessarily always the motivation behind it being financial. It's a psychological fulfillment. It's more about independence, more about social contribution, as you already talked about. But the disadvantages, I think it's energy draining and reduced family attention. Like I would say, like my personal experiences, working women, when they often return home, they're more mentally and physically exhausted, limiting the time and energy available for the spouses and their children. So that's one. And also there's it also brings sometimes, you know, double burden, like work plus housework, because most men do not share the household duties sufficiently like Imam Ali alayhi salam would do, which causes women to shoulder both the workloads. And this strain can lead to tension, fatigue, and also the conflicts, you know. So, because she is single-handedly doing also the outside work and also the inside work. So, it's a double burden sometimes. And challenges in the childcare do occur when we are independent, because work demands more focus, and it conflicts with parenting responsibilities, which creates constant worry about time, presence, and influence on children.
But just as a side note to your nice explanation of the disadvantages, I think that all these disadvantages that you were talking, they arise when the husband is not helping.
Yeah,
like if she's single, there's no problem in energy drain and not being able to devote enough of time for herself.
If you're doing that before marriage, like when you do not have much family responsibilities, that's okay. That's completely...
Yeah. So, because, and then when the responsibilities come...
Because it also has
come,
its own advantages. It's not like it does not have advantages at all. So, but yeah, it does have...
So for disadvantages, I have some suggestions. Like if the husband can lend a helping hand...
Yeah, like
a more active...
I said, like... Try to be like Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Exactly. So I guess the disadvantages would be lowered, reduced, and some sort of neutralized.
Yeah.
If the husband shares a very, lends actually a very active helping hand meanwhile.
Yeah, I would say, like, especially it becomes easy for independent to have that independence when you are not into the marital relationship. Mm-hmm. When you are single, it's more easy and you don't have really much burdens. You don't have childcare, things like that. You can contribute to society and use your skills.
I have this very basic question. I told you that this discussion has got a very long history.
Yeah.
Why we don't always talk about, okay, men wants this and want that. It's always about women. Like, women, they strive for independence. Women want this and they want that. And they have this longing and that longing. So it starts from somewhere.
Yeah.
So where has this discussion of women longing to be financially independent started? We go for a break and then we come back to see what is your answer.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. This is your cozy corner, and Sister Zainab is here with us. I'm Asma, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio. I'm very happy to be here with Sister Zainab and with you, of course, because we're sharing something which is, I guess, very interesting and very common. And everybody, even right now in 21st century, is talking about it. It's still an ongoing debate of, okay, whether it is good or not for women to be financially independent. And I think it's not about, is it good or bad, as much as it is about the side effects, which Sister Zainab was just talking about them. Like, they start to talk about it when they see the family disintegrations, like when a woman is working so hard outside her home, she definitely is not going to be able to be an active participant in the house, to be a caring mother and to be a caring, perhaps, wife. So that debate starts from there. Yet, if the husband gets actively engaged in the process of taking care of the home and of the family, then these questions are not going to pop up into anyone's mind at all.
Yeah, and also, like, I think there are cultural things that bring these discussions into, like, for example, in many cultures, it's said that women are only and only meant to be inside the home. And
yeah, that's no right where it started.
Exactly, because that's a cultural thing. It has got nothing to do with Islam. For example, in Islam, we are said that if, for example, in Surah Nisa, it's stated that all and women shall have a share of what they have earned. So God has deemed women's earning and employment permissible and has described her as the rightful owner of the income from her own labor.
Yeah.
Same is not for the men. Like, men have to provide sustenance
to
their family.
He is the provider.
But a woman, she can earn here, according to this verse, and her earnings are her own. So, like, see, Islam gives us more, I would say, freedom and right. So women's employment, especially in the contemporary era, is among the debated issues. We know that, especially in the Islamic societies as well. Yet Islam is something that emphasizes the dignity of women and within the ethical boundaries. That's what's important in Islam and deems their social participation as legitimate. I would say, for example, when I was living in two cultures, like I lived in Kashmir, I lived in Iran, and the best thing I felt in Iran was during my delivery time when the entire workforce in the hospital was all women.
Yeah.
And I felt so comfortable, uh-huh. So grateful to God that he you know, kept me in this situation in a country where I had to face no men in this situation, which is really hard for women, you know.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, we had that workforce. So that way, when women come and contribute to the society,
exactly.
It is, I think, the need of the time, because in our religion, it's not permissible. As long as, you know, female doctors are available, you're not permissible. It's
so
not
permissible. So if that woman did yeah. not have that yearning and longing to get more education and to be actively engaged in societal issues, she would have never been a doctor.
Exactly.
And women would have been in need of male doctors, which is actually...
Which is so much that
disconcerting,
Kashmir,
actually. Yeah, it's very disconcerting. And women do not like that. Like, for women to staff, it's not easy to go for a male doctor, for a male... I don't know. When there is a woman, it's easier to go for a woman.
Right. I saw in the same hospital people traveling from Iraq and other places, like from the Muslim countries, and to get treated by women in Iran.
So it's a blessing.
It is a blessing.
It is a blessing.
Because we do need such gynees. We do need women as gynees in the society.
Yeah, and these women are actually diamonds. Like, they shine like a diamond in all the societies, in all the Muslim societies, because they're just helping the women not to be in need of male doctors, male teachers. Like, you know, because then the process of learning, the process of getting healed, all the processes that women are in need of is going to be facilitated and pretty much easier.
Exactly.
Now, you know, there's also another myth. They say that if a woman gets a financial independence, then she wouldn't be interested in marriage anymore.
That's, again, what kind of culture she's been exposed to. But if we talk about Quran again here, like in verses of Surah Jumu'ah, in verses of Surah Al-Mulk, we have that all people, both men and women, are invited to seek God's bounty. So what is this culture going to stop me from? What are these myths? Why are these myths going to stop me from taking the God's bounty when God himself is inviting me, both men and women? He invites us to seek that bounty. So earning income and participating in the economic sphere are among the instances of seeking divine bounty. So also in Surah Qasas, we have when it recounts the story of Prophet Moses and the daughters of Shu'aib, it provides us evidence for the permissibility of women working outside the home. Likewise, the narrative of Queen Bilqis in the Surah Naml, It offers another example affirming women's capacity for leadership and participation in public affairs. And so many things, like we saw Lady Khadija salam alayha as a business tycoon. What is really important is to be modest, dress modest.
And to consider God.
I think you should never, ever, ignore God, even in the... Like, for example, as Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, he would wake up early in the morning and he would every day make this dua. Oh God, do not leave me on my own self. Like Prophet, with that magnanimity, with that compassion, with that kindness, with that state of prophethood, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not leave me on my own state.
Exactly,
even for a blink of an eye. So who are we? Like, we should... consider God always in all and every spheres of our lives.
Exactly. So, and you mentioned something very important. Since women are very respected in our religion, her dignity is very important. So,
yeah, and a woman can take care of, if a woman is sure that she can take care of this in an environment, then she should go ahead. But, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, I would like to talk about it here. We fall into practical polytheism here when we go into the working environment as women. I would say how? For example, they don't have those criteria and rules for men, what they have for women. For example, I don't know, in many of the companies you see outside, I know this is not happening in Iran, but if you go out of Iran, if you see in our countries, unfortunately on our newspapers, the rules are written. Like if you come to the airline company or if you come to any other company, you should not wait more than this. Your weight should not be more than this. What has my weight got to do with my skills? You know, how is my weight going to interfere with my skills? So all those things, like sometimes we agree to the rules and responsibilities of a company and we ignore the commands of God here. That's how we fall into practical polytheism, because now others' commands and rules are becoming a priority.
So the
for
important
me.
Things are, again, we come back to this point of considering God in every single step you take.
Exactly.
Being a man or woman, that does not differ. But since we're talking to women and we're addressing Muslim ladies, the thing that matters be it like if you want to be financially independent, if you want to go for education, the only thing that matters is that you take care of your dignity and you consider God.
The last point I would like to add here is that even if you never say that I was in a situation, I was forced to work, I was in need. Even if you are desperately in need, but there are grounds available to fall into sins, or you can't be modest and you have to go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would suggest leave it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. His promises are true. He promises in Surah Talaq, like, if you leave anything for me, you can't imagine where from I will provide your sustenance.
Yeah, so we do believe that ladies are the great engine of the entire world. So without them, there wouldn't be any motherhood, and without them, there wouldn't be any color in this world. So thank you for all the mothers out there. Thank you for all the working ladies out there, for all the women who have shared a great part in society with their education, with all the knowledge they're sharing. And yeah, just keep it up. So this was all for today. Until another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges, nothing is